blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary carries stands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gashami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharma, Saranam, Gashami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate observation that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor to assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry to correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma. And I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sattva. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other. As the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to release. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
So I have a physical pain in my leg, and I noticed that my brain cannot compute because I haven't done anything. There's no reason for it. Mm-hmm. And I really want to do this thing that requires my life being well. That happens to be simultaneous to the situation. But it's just interesting to watch the mind scramble.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it thinks it knows,
mm-hmm.
Oh, that must be what it is. Okay, I just need to take some magnesium.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I go and fuck. You know, just the and you know, then somebody says, well, you know, could just possibly be aging. Well, that is a possibility, but it doesn't compute. You know, it's like how can that be? I mean, you are turning a very large number this year in a few months, and quite frankly, I'm going to run a marathon. But I was at the beginning of the training, and I was just running regularly, and all of a sudden.
It happened.
Uh-huh. I'm like, wait, you know, I should have been running like 15 miles or something, so it's not great. And this other friend of mine who's a couple years older, she's like, well, it is kind of, the body can have that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, no, it can't. You know, it just says that it's just a.
So the mind is trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The mind is trying to figure it out, and it does that whole thing. And, and just to drop that is hard.
Uh-huh, yeah. So there's, because there's wanting to do this thing that doesn't seem compatible with the pain in the leg.
Right.
And so then the mind tries to figure out what is it, and when it feels like it might know, that, okay, got it, and then we can do this thing that will,
There's no just, that this is what, I mean, and there's so many different, you know how the personality has so many parts or whatever, because before there was really a, you know, I don't want to get injured, it's not really that big of a deal, and it really wasn't to some part of me. And then,
it's not that big of a deal that I can't keep on with this
person. Well, like I was really going to pay attention, I wasn't even sure I really wanted to do it.
Yeah.
And I really don't want to be injured in my next 50 years of living.
Right.
So there was kind of that.
Yeah.
And so it's just interesting how ego, when things And this is so common, you know, but when life presents a block, something that appears a block, whether, you know, it was a note on the board as a monk or a pain in my leg, it's like the system starts to scramble rather than just say, oh, okay, well, we'll just ice the leg and go get it checked out
and do whatever
we need
it now. But it sounds like, if I'm tracking what you're describing, that it's either, you know, we have to figure this out, get things so we can get back on track, or forget it. That's okay.
I suspect there's a middle place.
It seems like in that place there's sort of a almost like deciding right now how this is going to go. Yes, we're going to be able to do it and continue on and get this fixed, or no, we're not. But it sounds like the middle way that you're describing is, okay, well, what needs to happen today?
Yeah.
Well, it needs to be iced.
Yeah.
Okay, well, how about tomorrow? Well, let's go see someone about it. Okay, and that's right, because we don't know, right? I mean, we've got all kinds of pains in our body that come and go quickly for no reason. Didn't come for a reason, didn't leave for a reason that we can see.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So who knows? We don't know. But that being in that place, it sounds like it's tricky of just how what's needed now.
Yeah, so it's good practice. It'll be a really good thing to practice with, because that's it that's helpful to practice with everything.
Yeah.
You know, the kid gets sick or the whatever, and that same system, what could it be? Is we not Purell enough? Or what kind of thing can I buy? You know, there's not this, okay, we just need a cold rag for the forehead.
Right.
You know,
exactly. But even in this moment.
Yeah.
And I love that thing of, and that's what's here to practice with.
Yeah, because that's what it does all the time. You know, it's just that.
Yeah.
If I practice with this, it's just like sitting on the cushion.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a practice.
Yes, exactly. And gosh, that really, at least for me, that can really give us that step back and allow us to relax into whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because really, that's what we're doing all the time, everywhere. When awareness practice is the foundation of our lives, is we're practicing with this.
So tell me about this. So I noticed two things simultaneously go on in the system. One is there's kind of such a relief.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also this kind of frenetic, simultaneously, energy. You know, I guess it's a barcode thing. But anyway, there I am. You know, I can feel that something relaxed, and then there's something right here that's just like energy, really. Well, that's a nice idea, but
it really takes me back to, we just finished the New Year retreat, and there was a lot of, some of the themes were very similar to this, because, you know, we always talk about the same thing. We're not aware of that.
Yeah.
But that place of, first of all, we get an idea, you know, so like in this case, I'm going to run a marathon, right? And so, very likely, because you're an awareness practitioner, at least from the start, there's a sense of like practicing with that. There's going to be so much to practice with that, right? But without seeing it, the content system, I'm going to run a marathon.
Right.
So then the pain in the leg is in the way of me running the marathon.
Right.
But the thing that we forget is, but the pain in the leg is not in the way of what I'm actually doing, which is using everything as a workshop. And so then as you start to realize that and have that relaxation that you were just describing, the conditioned system is no longer in control, which is what it's constantly trying to have, is control over us. So it makes so much sense, doesn't it, that as you relax and let go of that, it's like, no, you know, we can't. Because if everything is okay, if you can practice with whatever it is, it has no control over you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that was the dilemma, and you know, stay here, that those sensations no longer are frenetic and distracting, they're actually kind of pleasurable.
Because then they can just be another thing that's happening here now.
That's what I was watching. That's good to remember.
It's really good to remember. I mean, actually, that last point is very subtle, but really, that whatever is going on, even as, let's say, my relaxation and my disidentification triggers the system even more, okay, well, then I'll practice with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that I can practice being here with. not believing, not, you know, leaving center to go deal with them some way.
I taught something around process and content. It feels like a big falling away of a belief or something. And it feels very related to what you were just talking about the content of running a marathon. And how it came to fall away was I was looking at, it's actually something that I said in a dyad at the New Year's retreat about, and I think the question for us to look at was, what was something, a time that you were really lit up, and then the fear sort of maybe took away, or I don't know, something like that. And I told this story about when I just started a job, kind of a career before last, that I was very excited about. And sitting across from my supervisor mentor, who was just this kind of crusty old guy, you know, and I was just, I love this. This is so exciting. And I feel like I'm in the game, and, you know, we're doing all these meetings, and we're just, you know, and I'll never forget, with etched in my mind, the look on his face of just this tender smile of pure delight. And I projected at the time, he's so happy that I'm really into this job. But what dropped in just a few days ago was seeing that there's a huge assumption there. That excitement was for the job. Was stuck to that content. I cannot put into words how huge that was to see. And even the projection onto him, that he wasn't delighted in the process. He wasn't just sort of maybe caught up in the wonderful energy of enthusiasm. He was just so happy that I was going to like this job. And maybe someone would stick with it, because it was a hard job. People quit a lot, you know. And to see that, oh my God.
Wow. So to be able to see that enthusiasm that was there for it, at the time, was stuck to the content. But it sounds like you're saying you can see that even then, it wasn't. It was just a process of enthusiasm. And that's the place where it gets you, is to stick it to whatever content is there.
Exactly. And all these years, I've been kind of believing that story. But see how much I like that job? Then what happened? And then trying to solve the problem. And it did that back when I was all into music, and then it did that in the sport that I was in. And I just love something, and then it gets taken away. And that whole process is like just 5 degrees off the point. You know?
5 critical degrees.
5 critical degrees. Because then it'll keep me forever doing the impossible, solving a problem that isn't there. It's like, so I keep getting talked out of not liking this content that I fall in love with. Or this man.
And it's funny that it's 5 degrees, isn't it? Because having it be that subtle could really keep us crazy.
Yes.
Right? Because if it were 180 degrees, it would be like, wait, okay, this doesn't add up.
But just that kind of why? It feels like it's the job,
right? And it's genuine. Because I imagine there really was a love for that job, or there was a love for that man, or there was a
right. So it's like what? Exactly. That is this maddening, and it truly. I mean, I can see where people are driven mad.
Sure.
I mean, I've had periods like that. I think of all kinds of dire things. But, so that's why I say it was such a huge falling away. And then as I was reporting about it, the mentor just sort of, you know, what came out was even more wonderful stuff about, so that's sort of what karma is. It's the sticky. That when the energy is flowing through it, it gets stuck to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because as I was writing and recording about it, all I was doing, because, and this is the only place where logic sort of actually comes in and was helpful.
Uh-huh.
It was because I could see, well, I was excited about this and this and this, and I didn't get stuck on it.
Uh-huh.
It was able to just sort of flow through, and I could just see the process.
Uh-huh.
But boy, when it was about this content,
interesting.
Uh-huh. Or this person,
mm-hmm.
or this, and so to just see that those are just karmically charged areas.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. Yeah, I have that image when you're talking about the stickiness that, you know, for one person this is sticky, but another person participating in that's simple, right? Because it's not a sticky thing for you.
You didn't suffer at all about that.
And that for you, these were sticky and these other things weren't.
Yeah. And I thought, Sherry, I and others have called in on the radio show to talk about relationships,
mm-hmm.
and she's often used this one example to just, I have to think, are you out of your mind? You know, because what she was saying, you know, someone would say, I really want a relationship. I really want a relationship. And she would say something to the effect of, well, there's this homeless guy out there that everybody was stepping over on their way. I really wanted to find you. I think he's available.
Yeah.
I would be like, are you kidding? What? I don't get what you're pointing at. I want a relationship with him, you know. And that was part of the... that's the sticky.
Uh-huh.
Because
yeah.
if we're just looking at pure process,
yeah.
I can be in relationship with anything, anybody, anything, anybody.
Yeah.
You know? It's like it's pure process.
Uh-huh.
And it's the process that the heart is I don't know, doing or
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so the the word of the mentor was, whoa, there is big freedom here.
Mm.
When we get that.
Wow.
Yeah.
When we really get that it is truly a process.
It all is a process.
It all is a process. And then those places become foods for us. Those places of what? Not bad. No, not bad.
Yeah.
I want this.
Yeah.
I don't want that. And that place where it's feeling that energy gets stuck in places, sticks to something. But those are big clues. Oh, okay. Well, this is a karmic sticky place for me.
Yeah.
And I don't have to believe that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really like a new page of practice. You know, people in groups, and I used to get so discouraged when I would hear long time practitioners say, it's like, I've never seen this before. I'm like, what? You know, you've been practicing 20 years and you've never seen this. No, that's so discouraging. But what it really is, it's like, I've never seen this before because it's been planned anew.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I've never seen anything about process and content before.
Yeah.
But when that layer gets planed away and the fresh is shown, it is brand new.
Yeah.
And it's so exciting.
Yeah. And when we realize that that's a process, then why would it be bad news that we're in that process?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So that's the process we want to be in.
And
that's the delight of being at the beginning of that.
Yeah.
Because I project, and it's that place where Sherry was talking about, gosh, if we could only just sit in the seat that we were in when we first were practicing, you know, and we can't remember, but, you know, sort of that sense of, wow, everything we saw was amazing.
Uh-huh.
Because we didn't even before know the process of seeing.
Yeah.
So everything we saw was just magnificent and so freedom-producing.
Fresh.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to be in that place throughout our practice, you know, ideally till the day we transform form, you know, is amazing.
And to see that sort of like, what? It's just another sticky place.
I was just going to say,
just another little sticky karma ball.
Yeah, that's another sticky place. Because it reveals a belief of, oh, we're getting somewhere. And
there's
something to get. There's someone to get it. There's all the things.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
It really is the place, I mean, it's a little bit what we were looking at with Susan in terms of, wow, it's just that amazing place of freedom to realize that everything's our best opportunity to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
So those, we come to those sticky places and we start to have a relationship with them. Oh, wow, this is a whole other thing being revealed to me.
Yeah.
How great.
Yes, and you know the karma seed, where we say everything I do creates karma and I shall surely experience this karma. There's a way in which that can be sort of taken in this mind anyway as a kind of a warning. Mm-hmm. But it's also the good karma, the karma to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think of just all those times of sitting on a cushion through maybe a dry spell or whatever, yeah. And all those times we record and listen when we normally want to, yeah. All those times we read an article.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's just what the musings was about, isn't it? Yeah, the musings of the story of the student who just joyfully goes out and anyway, that story. It is every how does it go? The beat
I'm born of karma, I'm earth karma, I buy karma, everything I do supports
everything
karma.
Everything I do supports karma. Everything I do supports karma, and I shall surely experience this karma.
Even the good karma.
Yeah, and again, even from that one more step back place, it's like, is it good or bad?
Yeah.
Right? Because that can really take us to the place of, you know, is the pain in the leg bad?
Yeah.
Or maybe not. And then it takes us to the next place of...
Yeah, and very good, I should say, even the karma to wake up.
Yeah. Exactly. Even the karma that we like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes us into the light.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess first thing is being in bed for all week alone with my mind has been stressful. Oh, it's been awful. And it's been really awful, and so I really like music a lot, classical music, mm-hmm. And it's just like Sherry said, there. You don't get to hear the whole symphony. You don't even get to hear theme and variations. You hear a loop over and over and over and over and over again. It's just like there, and then it's like drop it, comes back, you constantly. Anyway, so that was interesting. And yesterday I was like, oh, I've heard all my favorite composers except for Schubert. And then later on that day I heard Death and the Maiden, Schubert. I'm like, okay, there it is. I heard. He was like, conditioning, just listening. He says, oh, okay, we can play that track for you. Anyway, that was just. Interesting.
Well, and not to miss that, of course, we're not attempting to avoid experiences, right? So life puts in our path a really different kind of retreat. You know, being sick and doing, in this case, the Hubert Cure, which is a lot of time, really quiet. I mean, the monastery is quiet, right? But being on one's own for extended hours during the day in one's hermitage is quiet. Right, and so it really is it's another kind of a retreat, and so it just I would encourage you to not necessarily accept that sort of you know have you ever heard Sherry talk about how conditioning will want to file things? So we have this experience, and in this case, it wants to file it in the awful file, mm-hmm. Right? But the truth is, at least from what you're laying out, you saw a lot.
Oh yeah, no, I saw a lot. I definitely saw a lot. The only reason why I was tortured is because I've gotten to the point now where I realize as long as I'm listening to that music in my head, as long as I'm in that conversation, I'm not here.
Yeah.
So now I'm working a lot more, okay, drop it. And then basically nothing else is going on. I'm just laying here.
Yeah.
And here it comes again,
yeah.
And again, and again,
yeah.
And again, and again.
And what a tremendous gift that is. Because to have the illusion that that isn't happening everywhere in our lives all the time is almost scary. But it is.
Yeah.
When we're lying down quiet like that, we're aware of it. We can hear it. But it's like the control thing we were talking about with Susan earlier. But when we're out in our just going about being me in my day, that's all still happening. It's just not nearly as obvious to us because it's in control. So to have you come out of that week with a sense of, wow, all right, I can really see that this is just a loop that's playing over and over and over again. And my job is just to simply drop it and to get here. And it sounds like kind of a renewed commitment to that. I would not find that under awful.
No. The experience of the conditioning just whipping me around, that was awful. But the awareness is not awful.
Yeah.
The thing that's frustrating is that basically it mostly whips me around all the time. You know, it's
right.
not very easy to drop it.
No, it isn't easy to drop it. And the fact that you're seeing it that much is, it's just good to remember that that's a lot of time being spent in awareness.
Yeah, and you know, I have to say, like, I always loved music, and now it's like, oh, that's like this conditioning's secret weapon on me.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when the voices are going, I can drop the voices, but the music's still going on, the music just goes down the low, and it's still there. And I'm just like, it won't go away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
So there was that, and part of this is that, so I'm leaving in, well, it's 4 weeks now, right? I'm amazed, like, I'm so happy I only came for a month, because that's like, you know, I'm like 4 weeks, I feel like, well, I'm leaving, like, you know, it feels like a week, I'm leaving in a week, it's all going to go real fast, I know, and part of it's like, so what's it going to be when I'm out there? What have I done? What does this mean? You know, I mean, part of that is like a lot of conditioning and meaning, but part of it is like, am I getting everything I can while I'm here? So that's all wrapped into that. And then I had an awareness. There's a lot of conditioning wrapped around it, but I just really got in touch with, so this is going back like 3 years now. My mother was very ill, and I quit work, and I was caring for her and stuff like that. And the content part that I never talk about is that I had a career in gerontology research. I know a lot compared to the average person. I know a lot about gerontology. My best friend is an expert of end-of-life issues, okay? So you're talking about someone in their 80s who's sick, particularly with dementia and depression? I know about as much as a person can reasonably expect to know without having gone through it.
Mm-hmm.
And my experience, and with the thing that really dawned on me is, well, it all comes together. All of that information, all of that knowledge, all of those years of work, and all of that information, it was almost worse than not knowing.
Yeah.
To know, well, we could do this. Well, you have a healthcare system, you just can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I called people, pulled out all the stops, you know, asked them for favors.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line is, yeah, okay, that's an option, but it's really not an option. The doctor has never heard of that, so the doctor's not going to approve it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, it all fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, my mother was severely depressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was depressed for maybe 9 months before she died, severely depressed the last 3 months,
mm-hmm.
and in pain every day. And it wasn't, basically there's nothing I could do about it.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of like you talk about, you know, with conditioning, it's like knowing. If I know, I can prevent this. If I know, I'll be prepared. I was prepared.
Yeah.
And completely prepared in as much a way that's possible.
Yeah.
It helped, I used to say it helped like 5%.
Mm-hmm.
And with the thing I got in touch with is how angry I am about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I understand it's a conditioned response, but just like really... What? What? I have spent decades working at this stuff. And when the time comes, useless. And it wasn't useless, but it was practically useless.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of reasons why I'm here, but that's a big reason why I'm here. Because
mm-hmm.
the content and the knowing just doesn't work. And I don't even want to do it anymore. I just don't want to play that game anymore. I've had it. It's not going to work. And so, what else is there but to come here? It's like there's a whole world out there, and you're like, oh, it all just doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, and so, okay, well.
Yeah, you described it very well, having suffered enough.
Yeah.
Because, you know, again, Sherry will say all the time, there are not hundreds of people living here.
Right.
It's not an easy choice. Right? And so a person tends to need to get to the kind of place you're describing, which is to have their own experience, because we do, we think it's going to work to know. You know, if you say, you know, do you think you can control it all? You say, no, of course I can't control it all. I'm not trying to control it all. But we are. You know, we think we can know, and we can, you know, make sure, and, you know, have a plan. And then we have experiences like you're describing that prove it to ourselves. No, no, we can't. And that's where we get to the place of, okay, well, what else then?
Right. Right. Yeah, because it's like, you know, my whole life was in preparation to help my mother right when she needed it.
Mm-hmm.
And my understanding was exactly what her problems were.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't make a difference at all.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that made a difference was being there.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that really, and that was huge.
Yeah.
But, wow.
Yeah. Right. You know, and we don't know, right?
Right.
Because from what you described, your mother gave you a great gift in all of that.
Oh, yeah. I made a recording last night. I felt bad about, I still feel bad. I still have guilt. Like, I mean, I really just, I know what, everyone says, nobody could have done more than you did. But the bottom line is, the guilt still comes up. It's like, oh, I could have done
and
more.
And those two things, the way you said that in those two different ways is really an important distinction. I feel guilty, there's still guilt. Those are two different orientations to it.
Right.
Right? That I feel guilty is essentially the identification with it.
Yeah. Right.
There is guilt. Conditioning still plays the guilt card is a disidentified place from it. Yeah, of course. My gosh, the guilt card. That's a good card for conditioning to play. That's very effective. It feels very real and very true.
And it's only on the inside. Nobody on the outside has ever said that about what I did with my mother.
Which is a big clue.
Right. But, you know, it's there.
Yeah.
And the thing I recorded about was that how my mother did all these favors for me. Like, my mother had dementia, but perspective taking, cognitively perspective taking, the ability to understand what another person's point of view is,
mm-hmm.
my mother still had that intact, which was amazing until the end.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the night before she died,
mm-hmm.
she still was like, what I only found this out later, she used to like fake things. Like I got a brand new bed.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, she couldn't sleep in it, right? So she would act like, I'd say, okay, time to go to bed. She'd act like everything was great. And then when I left the room, she goes, I like this, I'm getting out of here, I'm getting the chair. Right? She did all this stuff that she's like trying to take care of me.
Yeah.
And I do feel bad. I'm just like, no, you don't have to take care. You know, like, I didn't even know it at the time. But the thought was, you don't have to take care of me. I'm here to take care of you. Whatever happens,
yeah.
it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I'll be here. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's great that she loved me, but I'm afraid that she did it out of fear. That if she didn't please me.
Well, who knows, right?
Well, you're right. Yeah. There is no way to know. I mean...
And it's just
conditioned beating me up.
Yes, exactly. And how cruel. How cruel. You know, it's always so helpful, right, to take the perspective of if this were someone that you really cared about, a good friend of yours who you love unconditionally, and is talking about this experience with their mother, would you ever say, well, gosh, but she was probably just doing that out of fear. I mean, you got to, you know, because you could have, I mean, yeah, you did a lot, but I mean, it could have been, no way. Right? No way. So it strikes me that all of the things you're talking about, you know, the songs that play over and over, the loops, the conditioning that come in, the guilt, the this, all of them, you know, they're the sticky places that Rebecca was talking about. And what they become, instead of us getting stuck to them and like, oh, this again, and, get, you know, go through it one more time, they become our reminders, right, unconditional love, or whatever it is that we want to come back to. You know, thank you was coming up for me as you were saying that because, again, so much that you received in that experience, so much that you received in the experience of being in bed for a week, so much that you received from your mother in what she was giving to you right until the day she died. And so just to replace those, you know, as all of that is coming in, to just go to something like, thank you. Thank you. That's amazing. Thank you. You know, thank you for the gift of putting me in that quiet place for a week so that I could see that before I leave the monastery and have very little shot at having that much quiet. You know, thank you to my mom, to my mother for, you know, the grace that she offered me during that period. Thank you.
Yeah, I do have those thank you moments a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting, conditioning comes in and says,
yeah.
Well, you know, you didn't really deserve it, you know.
And then you're like, oh, okay, that's like three or four or five thank yous right there. Thank you, thank you, right? The bigger the resistance, the more we come back to where we want our attention to be. And not to expect the resistance isn't going to happen. The resistance is going to happen. Absolutely. Right? But that commitment that we have to stay where we want to be how we want to be who we want to be.
And then one last thing. So I've had, ever since I started meditation and sitting in this posture, I've had pain, for years now. And it was terrible, but I hope it lasts. But it's been 2 weeks now, which is the longest period I've ever had, where basically I don't have, the pain I have is completely tolerable. It's not like the other kind of pain, which is like, you're just like, please get me out of here.
Uh-huh. And
and you know, it's like just through a series, like the profile checks, and then when we had the yoga, and just all little pieces slowly coming in that like, oh, I was so excited. I was so like, when we didn't have formal meditation, I'm just like, no, I could do it now. I want to meditate, you know? I'm going to take advantage of this. It's so much better. So I'm just super thrilled about that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, won't it?
It will be interesting to see. I have a feeling that my days of tremendous pain are ending. Not forever, but like, yeah, I think they're ending. I think it was just simply, I was holding tension in my shoulders. Mm-hmm. I was just holding it there. Mm-hmm. And if you're trying to hold it for, 30 minutes, you just can't do it.
Yeah. Well, and it's such a good description of what we see over time. It took that period of time and all of those things coming together to see, oh, this is something I'm doing. I can stop doing it. Which is the same thing with suffering. Now, it's that con. You don't remember what I was saying. What? I'm the homeless man? No. You don't get it, right? But that place where we constantly get the encouragement, suffering is something we're doing, and we can stop doing it. But, boy, does it take a lot of looking and being with to see, what am I doing? I don't see what I'm doing.
Right.
And so to have that experience of, oh, I'm holding tension in my shoulders.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's like that. And also, if you just stick with it and you have faith that life will work it out, it does. Almost everything always works out.
Well, it sure has up to now, hasn't it?
It sure has. It's just funny. It's funny how my experience is basically it always works out. And except that I always, of course, think like it's not going to work out.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Thank you.
It's funny, when I read the Musings article, I couldn't relate to it, and everything I've heard anyone say since has flushed out that article for me.
Oh, wow.
It's so interesting.
We haven't been on email, so I haven't seen it.
Oh.
But you're welcome.
Really good.
I'm sure this one is reading.
One of the things that it talks about is changing the context.
Mm.
And so, what I was thinking about this morning was appreciating the way in which practice over time changes the context.
Yeah.
So the content for me, what I'm quite involved in at the moment, is some political things for the community.
Mm-hmm.
And the context I'm coming from is the available context is. Frustration, anger, fear, the context I'm coming from is something different.
Uh-huh.
And it's so great to see that.
The context you're coming from is something different from that anger, fear.
Yeah.
And it's so great to see that.
Oh, so great to see that.
Mm-hmm.
So, another specific piece of context. So, content. So, I was invited on. Do you remember when we went to the Peace Store meeting at Blue Mountain?
Yeah.
And they had just gotten a license for a radio show.
So we
radio station.
So we went to same county, but clearly the other side of the county that has a mostly a children's center.
Children and youth.
And that we did some peace farming. We did some gardening and that sort of thing.
So yeah, and they just got permit to have a local radio station. So they have a local radio station,
So I was at a meeting the other night to plan a particular action in this community, and the guy there has a show on at radio station. And so he was chatting away, and he said, well, my theme on Wednesday night is compassion. And he said, I would love for someone that I could talk to about compassion. And so I sat with that for a few minutes, and I said, I'll talk to you about compassion. And first of all, it was just cool that just came up. You know, I didn't... And my buddy called me, I was coming, but there was no conversation around it. Mm-hmm. Just came up and I said, I'll talk to you about compassion. And what occurred to me when I was reflecting was, and if I hadn't said, I'll talk to you about compassion, there would have been a conversation.
Uh-huh.
I really saw that.
Uh-huh.
But saying yes,
effortless.
Right. So we had this great conversation about compassion, and what I gave voice to there that helped clarify for me was that in the current political situation, there are any number of really debilitating personal life that come from. Like fear and anger and fury and disillusionment and all that. And all of that is available.
Yeah.
I can feel it. It's all possible that's happening to that.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do that.
Yeah. That's an important thing, isn't it?
Yep.
It's not that it's not here.
Not there.
Right? Not that, God, why are you people doing that? Because I'm not doing that. Why would you want to do that?
Right.
There's a complete recognition that that's absolutely available in here.
Yep.
It's just that, gosh, for whatever great grace, you have the ability to choose not that.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So the context that has come, that has made the practice, I should say, has made available is I can come from compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was seeing in that is a couple things. One is that I come from that other place, I've quoted this over and over today, but I'm going to post this on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
One of those radio shows, one of those 9 o'clock radio shows, I taped them and I was listening to them on the retreat, and in one of them, either Sherry Ashwini said, we have to allow our hearts to be broken open, and then not to let the open space be filled with negativity.
Mm-hmm.
And that just feels like that's it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So what was I going to say about that? So all the negativity is available, but what I was seeing is that there's nothing creative that can come from that. You know, it's just adding to the negativity that I project is
uh-huh.
there.
Uh-huh.
And what does that contribute?
Right.
So, but from compassion, there's anything's possible.
Yeah.
And so creativity can come from that, and it feels like the ways we operate don't work.
Uh-huh.
And so we got to come up with something new.
Yeah.
And so the only possibility that makes sense is to be as open a channel as possible for compassion, because that opens the space and leaves it open for creativity.
Yeah.
And it was so helpful. It was one of those things where life provided this opportunity for me to articulate what I was experiencing
uh-huh.
that I wouldn't have otherwise had.
That life invited you into a conversation about compassion that allowed you to articulate an experience that you were having.
Yeah.
Which is so helpful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what recording and listening is, because that's what helps us to actually realize we're having that experience, which tends to deepen the experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And after I did the show, he sent me the recording, and I played it back and taped it,
because
I wanted that.
Yeah.
And it just feels like that what practice has provided is a different context, you know, a different place from which to come.
Yeah.
And in a time when it feels like this is what we practice for.
Right.
And I was thinking, you know, a number of years ago, I don't think I would have been coming from that place. And I thought, well, exactly 16 years ago, when the same kind of election happened, I wasn't coming from that place.
Mm.
Do you know?
So it was a good mirror.
It was a good mirror.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel as dastardly then as it does now. And I truly experienced being in a different place, which is what, in the Musings article, the Buddha provides for the woman.
Yeah.
Okay. This is what he gave her, the opportunity to let go of things so that she could be in a clear space.
Uh-huh.
And he gave her, as sexually expressed it, he gave her a different context to come from.
Uh-huh.
What will happen to her in that space, or what might arise from this space, who knows? Uh-huh. But the context is different. And so now I feel like I'm relating to the Musings article in a way I hadn't before.
Yeah. You know, and as you're talking, it strikes me so much that I hear such a sense of an ability to take responsibility in the place that you're talking about that maybe isn't available to us when we're coming from that sort of closed down, negative place. Because all of the pronouns are we, you know, okay, so we, this isn't working so well, so okay, so what can we, how can we, right? So it's that place of, you know, the creativity that comes from that openness, that compassion, from that realization that I can see that everything that's going on, quote, out there, absolutely happens in here.
Absolutely.
Which makes it so much more accessible for me to look here and see, all right, well, what then?
Mm-hmm.
And when we look to our own internal experience, we can then see how that applies to the quote external as well.
Yeah, and the other thing I was seeing was the difference between looking to our own feelings
mm-hmm.
and looking to our experience,
yeah.
or looking to our feelings and looking to awareness.
Yeah.
Because the other thing that came very clear to me that I was talking about this morning was listening to the radio show and people talking about their sense of guilt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How do I contribute to this sort of thing? Mm-hmm. And seeing the difference between guilt and awareness.
Yeah.
The difference between I feel bad
yep.
and all harmful thoughts, words, and deeds.
Yep.
I hereby, you know, acknowledge and let go.
Yep.
And what a free place that is.
Yep.
And what a different place that is.
Yeah.
It's not sticky.
It's not sticky, and one drains the energy.
Yep.
I feel so guilty. I mean,
yeah.
I'm just one person. I mean, look, I'm trying, but do I really even care? I mean, before the election, I didn't even.
Yeah.
All about me. It's all getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
But in that other place, you know, we're all responsible for all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Not from the self-hating place,
right.
but from that compassion place. That's a huge energy building.
Yes.
And that makes us actually available.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a kind of a magical week.
Mm-hmm.
I think what keeps striking me is how is it there is no other way I could have this experience of what was being described about having a week of a basically solitude.
Mm-hmm.
And having permission to do that
mm-hmm.
is something I can't imagine happening for me outside.
Yeah,
in
permission and privilege is one of the things that keeps coming up for me.
Well, that is the privilege for me because the permission is I can just completely lean into this.
Yeah.
Because normally when I'm sick, it's a battle.
Mm.
You know, it's a constant justifying my sick enough to be resting.
Uh-huh.
And I should be doing something else. And do I sound sick enough when I go back to work that people will think? You know, that's all that crud. And it's just what goes on. It's all the crud that keeps us from life all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like the first day that I was asked to go do the Huber show, I was like, not that bad, but it's probably a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I could hear all the conversation trying to, you know, I mean, you could do this in here. You know, it needs to be clean. I'm like, I was asked to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I'm going to do.
This is my assignment.
This is my assignment.
Mm-hmm.
And bam, completely out for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And to the point where I woke up, it was almost like, I was so melted into the bed that there was like no separation between me and the bed. And I was like, wow, I really don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. In other words, the story was, oh, you have plenty of energy. You could be doing this, you could be doing that.
Yeah, well, I'm a little bit, but I mean, you could still be, I mean, you can rest and do stuff, right? I mean, just count your breaths. Stay present. That's what life energy is.
Yeah, yeah, really. But then realizing, wow, the body was having an experience that I was not
having at all. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was really like eye opening. And that's been the experience ever since. That the mind keeps coming in and, you know, okay, I feel better now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I watch, you've been reporting every morning. Just
okay,
like,
I feel better now.
Totally. Or like, I'm close. Or, I got every morning I should be reporting I'm getting better.
Uh-huh.
And like, the struggle if I'm not. Because, of course, the message is, it's your fault.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I'm somehow in control of what's
right.
going on.
Right.
So, just kind of what's being described, you suffer enough around that. I'm just like, okay.
Right.
I don't know what's going on. I never know.
I
never knows what's going on.
Yeah.
And so then I got to have a couple of fun experiences. One was just like paying attention to the energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no conversation about it, but just it's like, well, is there energy to help with the tank? Yes.
Uh-huh.
Is there energy to walk the dog? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, let's check it now. I think I need a rest.
Yeah.
calmed down for an hour, woke up, energy is back. Okay, well, let's stay with it. It's just it's like, whoa, the energy system is amazing.
Yeah.
The energy arises to meet this thing. Okay, now it's, the body's not, it's still, there's still an infection. So, I mean, there's not that conversation. It just does it.
Right.
You know?
It's kind of the thing we began the morning with, of that moment-by-moment checking in. Instead of a long-term decision, am I going to run the marathon or not? It's just the now. You know, okay, energy for this now. Oh, time to rest. Oh, time to...
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's how we do this all the time.
Yeah.
Instead of having a better idea of, basically, you know, like I was describing, listening to conditioned mind about what it means to be sick and how long I should be sick and I'm the type of person who, and, you know, like, why am I sick for a year and a half? So, and when I get sick, I only get sick for 2 days. And then, I haven't been sick for a year and a half, but I don't even know if that's true that I only get sick for 2 days. Like, who knows?
Right.
And why does that, why, how does that level of relevance at all? What's going on?
Yeah, I think that's so funny. Then day one getting sick, okay, so this is going to be 3 days. And then after that,
totally. It's, and but the support, I mean, the space to just be with the experience is an extraordinary gift. I mean, I just so many nights in the Hermitage recording, just like, what? Wow. I mean, it's a wow to live here. It's a wow to go on retreat. And this is, it's another, like, flavor that I haven't really experienced before. And there's food. All the meals are there. And people were
pretty magically, right? Because no one went grocery shopping.
Really
kind of loaves and fishes.
And it's
okay,
like,
okay, well, today, what is there? And life just comes up with a meal. And it worked every time.
And it's just what the body needed, you know, the nutrition and the warmth and the nourishment and enough of community that you know you come together for meals and that kind of thing.
Right. Who's standing enough to cook?
Yeah, I just have a tremendous gratitude when anyone is healthy enough to do something for the community.
It's really a no separation kind of thing.
It really was.
Because it really, really is one organism, right?
Yes.
And right now, this hand is able to pick up the thing, and this one's going back to rest, and then this, you know, really is just one thing.
Yeah, that's so well stated. And it, and that's another thing I got to see that articulated it a lot better than I was getting it, that there was a lot of me involved at first. I need to be healthy to contribute to the community.
Right.
I'm being a burden, right? You know, that kind of stuff goes on for me.
Which, am I on the bad side or the good side?
Exactly. How do I look? You know? Gosh. So annoying. But that place, exactly, where like, okay, the first day, so I had some help.
Yeah.
So I went and got the dogs and that.
Scott the soul of the standing for me.
And then the next day, going, and but then somebody. You're right, it was one. That's what was so pleasurable, is that it's one organism, and it took me out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And everything's about me, and am I being helpful or not helpful? And it's just like, just like that day where, like, here's the energy to move the things. Okay, now I'm going to go play in bed.
Yeah.
You know, and now here's the energy to come for dinner. You know, it's just like, you know, we're being lived.
Yeah.
We're being lived.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's fun because, as you described it, we're being lived, each of us and the whole community of the monastery and the song band.
Yes.
And the, you know, you can just start to go back and back and back and realize, whoa, it really is all one thing. It's so big and they look different and you look like that. And she was like, but I think is it Helen Watts that uses the image of like a whirlpool in a river that whirlpool is always there. Like, I can come back tomorrow and it's there again. You know, when I come back next week and it's there, right? If it's by a certain rock and a certain, right? It's always there. But the water in it is never the same, right? Just going like that. Like, life is just making that whirlpool. Like, I see that whirlpool because, so I see Scott, right? And there's Scott. And there's Jen. And there's Penny. And there's, right, Sadie. And, but it's just life moving through all of it.
Gosh. It's just that whirlpool is a really good one.
Oh yeah,
the whirlpool is always there.
It's always there.
It's the same whirlpool.
Right. There's nothing about it in the same. Even from a split second.
Wow, that is, boy, that's a fun challenge place with looking at people. Yeah. Well, there's Jen. Well, there's Scott.
They're, exactly.
I know they are. They're like this. They're yeah. like that. You know, that's what I'm being told. Yeah. Scott's like this. Scott's like that.
Yeah.
He's not like this.
No.
And you're right. It's just constantly. Yeah. And the last thing, do I have, is there a minute for real?
Yeah.
Okay. The last thing was just, and I just want to touch into is the stillness.
Yeah.
And, yeah, again, you know, living at a monastery, there's a lot of opportunity for stillness. And it just felt like,
yeah.
It felt like another layer. Again, the permission thing for me was, nope, you're not going to do tasks.
Yep.
Or if you are, this is the one you're going to do and nothing else.
Yep. And the leaves are going to be on the porches.
And the leaves are going to be on the porches. And maybe somebody will take the garbage out of the bathroom. But, you know, like, we're not going to, you're not, no.
Yeah.
And so it was like surrender,
yeah.
which is possible all the time.
Yeah.
And it highlighted how much there is a, you know, just doing a little bit of urgency here and there, that, you know, just that it's so clear that supposed to have had that experience, that stillness can happen even when you're not sick and there's no schedule, that we can be doing those things that we need to do every day from that stillness.
Yes, and that place of surrender that
yes.
we were describing, right? Because, you know, completely surrendering to your assignment is to be in bed, right? To rest.
Yeah.
Now your assignment is to cook.
Yes.
And your assignment is to do this administrative
yeah.
work. And you're, that same level of not an I getting something done, but just surrendering to what life is giving us at
yeah.
the moment.
Saying yes, which is what the Musing article is talking about too. And what? It's so amazing, isn't it? Like, what a relief that is,
mm-hmm.
and how freeing that is, and how much energy there is
mm-hmm.
when we just say yes,
yeah.
you know, and just getting to experience that, really,
mm-hmm.
having a direct experience, which is what we're doing in Zen, and, like, being able to record about that
yeah.
on that level, it's just so clear from that place. You don't want it. Why would you want to do anything else?
Right.
Why would I want to be in a conversation about whether I should or shouldn't? And you know, it's like the information is here.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. And, you know, we're in a sangha, we're in a practice where if that's not clear, we have all kinds of practices to support us with it clear, you know, to help us gain that clarity.
Yeah. And there's no requirement that we're clear all the time, right? We
yeah.
just do the best we can, and we see a lot from that,
yeah.
and then we course correct if that's needed. And
Yeah,
that place of why would we choose anything else, right? Because the everything else, you know, the kind of doing and the figuring out and the planning, you know, everything everyone's been talking about this morning, that's all serving conditioned mind. And when we have an experience of being here with this, it's that's what serves us.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah. That's what serves us. And the gift of being sick maybe is also the gift of suffering a lot is there's a breaking down that happens
mm-hmm.
where it seems to me easier just to say, okay,
yeah.
yes,
yeah.
I surrender. No, no, I'm not. I don't have the energy for that conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't afford to do that right now, actually. So I'm just going to go with
yeah.
what the guidance is.
Yeah, and it'll be a very fun workshop, you know, potentially for everyone, and it's true all the time, but to watch the transition.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, to watch what begins to happen, to put all the pieces
back together. Yeah, I think that's probably why I wanted to say it out loud. Like,
yeah.
that experience is possible. You didn't
yeah.
have that experience.
Mm-hmm.
That's true at any time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, not like we're trying to make anything happen. Just watch. We'll just watch.
Yeah, no context.
In fact, that would
yeah.
probably be really helpful
yeah.
to see how it tries to put itself back together.
Yeah. Even in something like, you know, you were so quiet last week, and remember you said it could be applied to this. What's going on?
Right.
However it tries to put itself back
right.
together.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Got 1 minute. Anyone have some more?
I just want to say this funny when you're talking about the organism and every the pieces, and including Sabian, House in the Garden on Thursday. I think it was Thursday. And all of a sudden, Sabian wandered by. I said, oh, Sabian, are you on your own? She looked at me and just wandered by.
Okay,
she's on her own, I guess.
She
was
the one who wanted it.
We'll check in with her.
That might not have been authorized.
I just wanted to echo that what it just said about last week and the silos and everything. And the thing that I got so much in touch with and got on the recording with me is just the gratitude for community life.
Mm-hmm.
Because of all those things that you were saying, the world, it's like the whole cosmos. Mm-hmm. And getting back to this powerful insight, it's not community life as content.
Exactly.
It's the process
that
is available. It was certainly manifested, and in my experience, beautifully so, in community life.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, is it not confined to these boundaries, because it's the process that does that work
right.
for us.
That's so true. Yeah. Because if we look at it from that big place you were just talking about, the community life is all that is.
I got, when I would look down at my plate of food, and we just came off a week of amazing food, right, at the retreat.
Yeah.
And I was like, I could not be more grateful for this Kichidian beef, and it was just as rich. And I was just thinking of the hands that cooked it, because, we saw who was standing, who did.
Mm-hmm.
And my mind would then go to those friends that we have at Natural Foods who made sure it was there, and
mm-hmm.
to farmers who, it's like that. It just
mm-hmm.
kind of, and the people who are keeping the garden going while
mm-hmm.
we're all.
Yeah.
And so there really is no boundary, no border. In a way of saying, it's not the content, it's
mm-hmm.
just all the content. And just the gratitude that evokes is just as deeply, I think it was deeply healing myself.
Mm-hmm.
To go to live in that place,
mm-hmm.
It complements the silence very well.
Uh-huh. Yes, it complements mm-hmm. the silence very well.
Mm-hmm. A lot of gratitude.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.